Well, as we are in December, I thought I'd start a Christmas series. And I wanted to begin my Christmas series today in the book of Isaiah. And when many people think about Christmas, they think about gift giving. But as the Christian thinks about Christmas, we think about a gift that was given. And the gift that was given to us was the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for all our sins. And the gift that God gives us in Christ outdoes and outranks and outlasts the most expensive gifts that anyone could give. At Christmas, we think of the fact that God comes to the earth so that we could go to heaven. And when Jesus came, he came to deal with our three biggest problems. And our three biggest problems are sin, sorrow, and death. And Jesus deals with them all. Now, when you look at Isaiah, he came, he was about 700 years. He lived about 700 years before Jesus. And he announced God's gift of his son to the world. Isaiah was called of God to be a prophet. And his name means the salvation of Yahweh. And it's thought that Isaiah prophesied for about 60 years. It is thought that he lived in Jerusalem and that he prophesied from about 739 BC. He was a very brave prophet. He didn't hold back in how he preached and how he informed the nation. And Christian tradition tells us that he was martyred by being sawn in two. Some people think that he was placed inside a log and then they started cutting that log and cutting him. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah has a heavenly vision of the throne room of God, and there he sees the Lord sitting on the throne. Isaiah 6 verse 5 then said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims, that's a heavenly creature. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah took the opportunity to be a missionary to his nation in the days of darkness, and so must we. I believe that we are entering days of darkness. I've said it a number of times before, that we are heading towards the tribulation period. And Isaiah, in the dark days of his nation, said, Here am I, send me. And we should be saying the same things. Our nation is reeling in depravity and darkness and despair like never before. This nation needs missionaries. This city needs missionaries. This Christmas, each of us should determine that we are going to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus to our family, our friends, our neighbours, and this city. I was talking with a former ABC journalist last week, and he's been conducting interviews of teenagers, and he's been interviewing teenagers about the hope that they have. And he's told me that he's come across one teenager, just one teenager, that has any hope. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. Teenagers today are believing that global warming is going to end the world. Teenagers today are being constantly bombarded in the media in relation to the coronavirus. Teenagers today in the media are being constantly bombarded with immorality and lies, and there is no hope for many of them. They need the gospel, and this former ABC journalist, he now is going out. He came and he got, 1,000 tracts off me, and this man is going out and delivering tracts because he knows that people now, more than ever, need hope. The media is preaching to us today, about global warming, global death, global immorality, and people are believing the media. The nation does not need lies at the present time. The nation needs truth, and the nation needs hope. Who's got the truth? Well, it's you and I. We've got the truth, and we need to take the truth into our world. Isaiah 6, verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" He was an uncompromising prophet with an uncompromising message, and he did not fear men, because God was his saviour. Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation." This is what Isaiah is saying about God. God is his saviour. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, 'Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth.'" What a great message Isaiah had. He declares that God is his salvation, and he declares the message of salvation to a rebellious and disobedient people. The people of Judah had turned their backs on God. And that created a great need for Isaiah to pronounce God's judgment upon the nation. And he pronounced the judgment upon the nation in the hope that they would turn to him. Isaiah 1 verse 1, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know my people, doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." Sounds like Australia, doesn't it? "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." What a terrible description of Judah. What a terrible description of God's people. But there is hope. The Lord had left a remnant. And Isaiah's description of Judah and Jerusalem sounds like Australia today. And I want to say, if you're a born-again believer, you are a remnant. You're a remnant in Australian society. If you're a born-again believer that understands the times, you're a remnant in the church. And Isaiah was a remnant in his nation. And Isaiah was greatly used of God because he surrendered to God. He heard the missionary call and he surrendered. "Here I am, send me." Isaiah 1:4, "Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." What a description. So Isaiah had to come along and he had to pronounce judgment. And you know, the church needs to pronounce judgment today because people need to be aware that there is a judge and there will be a judgment one day for their sins. And it will be the Holy One of Israel. It will be the same God that Isaiah saw in that heavenly temple in Isaiah chapter 6. It was the same God who he trembled before. And it was the same God he said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah spoke of judgment. But Isaiah also spoke of hope and forgiveness offered to a rebellious people. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isn't that a wonderful message? It's a message for us today that though our sins be as scarlet, though our sins be like crimson, they'll be as wool. Isn't it wonderful to know that we are given a clean slate when we come to Christ as Saviour, that our sins are washed away, that we are completely forgiven? The people, verse 2, he says, "The people that walked in darkness," this is Isaiah chapter 9, "the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shines." He unveils the Lord Jesus in prophetic form. He tells people of Jesus hundreds of years before he came. When you look at Isaiah, he gives the most comprehensive prophetic pictures of Jesus in the whole of the Old Testament. In Isaiah's writings, we see the announcement of Christ's coming. Isaiah 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Who is this? Who's Isaiah forecasting? He's talking about John the Baptist there. "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." He prophesies of the announcement of Christ's coming. In Isaiah's writings, we see the announcement of Jesus' birth. We see an announcement of Jesus' life. We see an announcement of Jesus' preaching, an announcement of Jesus' death, an announcement of Jesus' burial, an announcement of Jesus' resurrection, an announcement of Jesus' reign, an announcement of Jesus' return. All in the book of Isaiah, some 700 years before Christ came. In Isaiah 7, we see Christ's birth. Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. Isaiah was saying that God was going to come, being born of a virgin, God with us. In Isaiah 53, we see a glimpse of Jesus' life. Isaiah 53, verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." In Isaiah 7 we have a picture of Jesus' birth. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see a picture of Jesus' life. In Isaiah chapter 61, we have a picture of Jesus' preaching. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. We get a picture here of the preaching of Jesus. In Isaiah 53, we get a picture of the death of Jesus for our sins, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. We get a description here in Isaiah of the birth of the Lord Jesus. We get a description of the life of the Lord Jesus. We get a description of the preaching of the Lord Jesus. We get a description of the torture and the death of the Lord Jesus. And we even in Isaiah get a description of the burial of Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Not only do we get a picture in Isaiah of the death of Jesus, but we also get a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 10, he shall see seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The Bible says he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The Lord Jesus is going to see the saints of the ages in heaven, and he will see the travail of his soul. He'll see those who he's died for in heaven, and that speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Not only does Isaiah prophesy the burial of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, but he also prophesies the return and the reign of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 2 verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations. This is the reigning, resurrected Lord Jesus. This is what he's announcing. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. He prophesies there of the return and the reign of the Lord Jesus. I've been to Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus is going to reign from the place of Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem today, and it's a great place to see, but there's a lot of sadness in Jerusalem. You go there, and there's young kids doing their military training, and they're carrying their guns. And Jerusalem is on high alert, and there is not peace there. What's missing? Well, the Prince of Peace is missing. And when the Prince of Peace comes to Jerusalem, there will be peace in Jerusalem. What a day that will be when Jesus returns and Jesus reigns from that city. Well, I guess the most famous verse of Isaiah when we think about Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When Isaiah says here, for unto us a child is born, it speaks to us of Christ's humanity. When Isaiah says, unto us a son is given, it speaks of Christ's deity. A son is given by God the Father. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Many people today believe that Jesus was a person in history, and they stop there. Many people today believe that Jesus was a preacher in history, and they stop there. Many people today believe that Jesus was a carpenter in history, and they stop there. Many people today believe that Jesus had a great influence in history, and they stop there. You don't understand Jesus unless you know that Jesus was the Son given by God the Father. You don't understand Jesus unless you understand that Jesus is your Saviour who died for your sins on the cross. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We have a child who is born, humanity. A son given speaks about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, verse 6, not only looks at the birth of Christ, but in this one verse, he looks far beyond the birth of Christ to the future reign of Christ upon the earth. Isaiah states that the government would be upon his shoulder. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This government will be in the future, when Jesus reigns and Jesus rules over the whole earth. You know, I'm not looking forward to a government just ruled by democracy. I'm looking forward to a theocracy. What is a theocracy? It is a government ruled by God. All governments ruled by man fail. You look at the great empires throughout the world, they raise up and they fall down. They raise up and they fall down. You look at the Western world now. The Western world was raised up mightily under the hand of God. The Western world proclaimed the gospel to many parts of the earth, but the Western world is tumbling. I'm not looking to the Western world for hope. I'm looking forward to Jesus, who will rule and reign supreme over all the earth. When Gabriel said to Mary, he spoke of his reign. He spoke of his reign to Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. One day the supreme ruler over all the earth will come, and that, of course, will be the Lord Jesus. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Who wrote that? It was John on lonely Patmos. He was imprisoned for his faith in the Lord Jesus, and yet beyond his prison walls, he could see that there was a prince that was going to come, and his name was Jesus. The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. World governments today are moving in the direction of the Antichrist, but one day world government will rest on the shoulders of Jesus Christ as he rules on earth. And when he rules on earth, there will be finally peace. I want to ask, does Jesus rule in your life now? Is the government of your life on his shoulders? Or is the government of your life on your shoulders? It must be on his shoulders. If Jesus governs your life, he brings peace with God, and he brings the peace of God into your life, even in these turbulent times. Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I believe the book of Isaiah gives the greatest prophetical overview of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the birth of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the preaching of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus. And he speaks of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a book to study this Christmas. What a book. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with just and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And we're thankful that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the great hope that we can celebrate at Christmas time as we think about your dear Son who came to this earth, born in the land of Israel, ministered in the land of Israel, died in the land of Israel, and coming back to the land of Israel. We thank you, Father, that in this sick and sorry world, our hope can be anchored in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to take the hope to our nation, our neighbourhoods and our families this Christmas. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.